You're listening to Mostly Technical, which is brought to you by Lair Jobs, the official Laravel job board, and screencasting.com, where you can learn how to create high-quality screencasts faster than ever. Now, Ian and Aaron.
Good morning, Mr. Landsman. Mr. Ian Landsman, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Aaron.
That's the worst I've potentially ever heard.
So I just had to like go into my Ian for a second. And he doesn't have like a crisp voice, you know?
Okay.
It's a little higher, I think.
Okay.
So
I didn't warn you, but that was flawless. It sounded terrible, but it was perfect.
Nailed
execution.
It.
Yeah, absolutely. So welcome to the show, Caleb Porzio, not Ian Landsman. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me here, Aaron Francis, filling in for Mr. Ian Landsman. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Welcome to the show. All right. So we don't have anywhere to go except that we were just talking about high energy slash low energy Jeb. And I feel a little low energy Jeb these days, in case you all don't follow 2016 American politics, Jeb Bush was low energy when he was running for president, and everybody called him low energy Jeb.
I didn't know this was an actual legitimate reference.
Yeah. They're around our house sometimes, me or my wife will say, I'm feeling a little low energy Jeb today.
And it's like, Jeb.
It's like, I guess a Francis thing that we know about now, but yeah, he had the Jeb with the exclamation point, which is like, I'm trying to be high energy, but it didn't really work. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm medium energy Jeb today. How are we doing over there?
High energy. Yeah. I'm all
high energy
up on caffeine and, you know, just life. Yes. I'm in high energy mode, Aaron. I'll have you know.
Is this a high energy season for you? Because you've just had a child, but you're also working on a super fun project. So what's driving the energy?
Yes. Super fun project. Children. Literally, I'm on a call with Josh Hanley this morning, way early, because he's in Australia and mm-hmm. Waking up super early isn't a superpower. Well, it's not a huge feat when you have like little children everywhere. It's just like what you do. I would have been way more proud of myself for waking up early pre-babies, you mm-hmm. know? Now it's like, you have to wake up early, right? Like what time do you wake
you're
up?
You're merely Aaron? Doing your job at this point.
Exactly. Like
congratulations.
The minimum is 7, and it's like, well, 7 is, you're late to the party, you know?
Yes.
If you want to be like on top of things, it's 6, like for sure.
Yeah, if you want to have any time on duty, you have to get up. You have to get up pretty early, because if you wake up at 7, you got to get up and you got to go get baby, right?
Yeah.
Or you got to go make breakfast for baby or something.
Yeah.
But if you wake up at 6, it's like, oh, I got some free time. I'm gonna make some coffee or tea or whatever you're drinking over there.
Tea. Yeah, I've been putting getting the water all set up the night before, so I can just like wake up, turn the water on my mm-hmm. desk, and start dosing. You know, and we're like, I don't even leave my like situation, you know, until 7 or 7:30.
You know, we have a like a Google Smart Home plug. It's like, you know, $19 on Amazon, and we plug our coffee maker into it. And so every morning at 6 a.m., the coffee maker comes on and makes the coffee.
Yeah, that's great. My mom does that, although she does it with one of those Christmas light timers.
Yep.
You know,
classic,
and it works great. Yeah,
this is not an insult to your mom, but that is the most boomer thing I've ever heard.
Totally, and it works phenomenally well.
Yeah,
and my parents' house is lit with those 3 button remotes that like click the the outlet when they like go on, and it's like internet's out, no problem,
no problem,
bam. Their smart home
just
works.
Find the right internet. Remote on the huge keychain of remotes that turns on the lamp. Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, that's why I'm high energy, Aaron. Why are you low energy, Aaron? So there's been stuff going on with you that I haven't read or received, I think. I haven't checked my email in forever, but a post about going offline. There's like there's things stirring here that, you know,
it's all in here, man. There's like a storm going on in the head. Let's see where to begin. Oh no, it's great. It's good content. I have 4 kids, two are 3 and 2 are 8 months. So there goes a big, you know, there goes the energy reserves, you know.
Yeah.
So we're already kind of operating at a deficit there. Last weekend I was solo parent, so that was just incredibly exhausting.
That is crazy, dude.
Crazy. Crazy.
That's crazy.
And of course I couldn't do it by myself. So I had, you know, both sets of grandparents coming in to like help. I had a babysitter come over once to help. Like I didn't leave. She just came over to help because there's, you know, 2 8-month-olds that have to eat, that have to be fed bottles, and then 2 3-year-olds.
So you did have
just,
some
like,
help
running around. Definitely had
it
help.
It seems like impossible without that, but
yeah, totally impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm just worn out. I think kids are a big part of it. Starting a business is hard, takes a lot of energy.
Yeah.
This is interesting because I think you maybe came to this realization a while back. The time spent on Twitter is just not that profitable anymore.
No.
I feel like you logged off a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah, Twitter, and I even had, like today, I'm sitting with River eating breakfast and just thinking of, what was it? It's my phone case. Somebody complimented my phone case yesterday, and I was like, this legitimately is like the coolest phone case. I love it, and it's cheap. And I've thought this about a few things in my life, a sleeping pad that I use. Like, there's these things. It's like, these are my all-time best purchases. Mm-hmm. This is the best kind of content. This is like, I should put this in a Twitter thread and be like, here's the 10 things that I love that I have bought and have zero buyer's remorse, and you should buy them too.
Oh,
people
man.
Just want to buy
things.
Normies
would go crazy for that. They would love that stuff.
I love a list of stuff to buy from somebody that I trust or has good taste. Even if it doesn't, just tell me what to buy. And then I just realized that like, oh, that's so like silly. If I wanted to do this bit of content, send it to my email list and it will do far better. And will receive. And the phone case I'm talking about was a Kevin Rose recommendation on his email newsletter that he like shouted out in there and wrote this little bit about. And I was like, insta buy that phone case. So anyway, yes, it remains to be true. It has always been true and is becoming even more true that like an engaged email list is a far better way to make money than a Twitter account, you know.
Okay, so here's my guess.
If we're talking about making money.
You didn't send the email. So you didn't tweet and you didn't send the email. Is that right?
No, I just wrote them down on a list this morning on my pad.
Yeah, perfect. Question, how big is your email list? And is that like Caleb Porzio, Make VS Code Awesome, Livewire, Alpine? Is it all one big bucket?
No, I have like separate buckets, but I don't know the numbers of each bucket. But I did yesterday because I need to start marketing this new project, Flux.
Right.
So I like looked yesterday in ConvertKit to just see where things are at. And it's like 65,000 email people. So it's
that's a lot of email people, man.
Freaking list that goes largely untapped.
Yeah.
But like VS Code Awesome is maybe like 7,000. I think I launched it like 4,000 or 5,000 with VS Code Awesome. But then there's the Alpine segment and then there's the Livewire segment. And that's pretty much it. 3 segments. Yeah. And then the old like CalebPorzio.com newsletter subscribers, which is just, you just get everything if you were that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a lot of emails.
Dude, 65,000 is crazy.
Well, so I told you how I get all the emails. And it's, and my, when I send out an email to generally like 35,000 people, if it's, you know, target, like a Livewire email, the last one I sent is like 35 or 40,000 people. And the open rate is like, it's been dipping over time. It's like, I don't know, 50% maybe around that, which is like compared to, it's good. It, like compared to anyone not in our world, not in like the indie creator world, they're like, what?
Yeah.
You get above 10? That's insane. But 50 is not like, I've had higher, you can have higher. There's a bunch of people, I should cull the list basically. I should do, and it's costing me a fortune on ConvertKit. I'm up to like $650 a month.
Jeez.
Yeah. So like I could probably save $200 a month if I literally sent an email that said, if you don't hit this button, you're going to go off the list. You know, like you're not going to get emails.
Yeah. Isn't that the only way to cull these days because of all the, you know, hey.com and friends blockers? You don't really know who's active unless
it has
they
to
click
be
on
like,
a link.
Yeah. So, right. That's, well, you know what? I'm just thinking back to like when I got really into if I should do this or not. I don't think ConvertKit. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe ConvertKit has a bunch of like guides on how to call your list, and I'm not sure if they require like engagement. Maybe they're still operating under the assumption that an open rate is an open rate. But yeah, I don't know. I would make it opt in some way. Yeah. So I don't know, Aaron. But yes, it's a big list, and I need to take better advantage of it.
Yeah, you do. And are you warming it up in preparation for the launch of Flux?
Yeah. So we hired a Thunk.
I've heard of them. Yeah.
Thunk Boys.
Yeah.
I'm going to charge for Flux. It was going to be free before, and now I'm scrambling. Like, I got to make a thing that I'm going to charge for. So yeah, first step is like, oh, I need a warm email list for this project. So whatever, Thunk helped me think through all these things and not just like, you know, forget. So yeah, I have like, I got to send something out today or tomorrow that's like, hey, I exist. Here's something of value for you.
Here are 10 things you should buy.
Here are 10 things you should buy. And then
listen to my podcast notes on work that says buy nothing. Instead, read my emails that say, here are 10 things you should buy. buy nothing good. For your kids. Buy 10 things for yourself. Yeah.
Your kids are happy to play with dirt. You,
on the other hand, have a gaping void inside of you that needs to be filled with phone cases.
Yes.
What are the Thunk Boys helping with? Because they're a primarily Livewire development shop. So
yeah,
why do you need them?
They're just smart. You know, like you could think of them as a primarily Livewire dev shop, or you could think of like John Drexler's been in product management forever and he's an incredible brain.
Ah.
And Daniel has been, he could write React Native if I wanted and he would be fantastic.
Yeah.
So you just have like incredibly capable people. And I was just like, yo, I just need incredibly capable people. So let's set a budget and like, please just help make Flux better, you know?
Okay, so this is interesting. So John Rudolph Drexler
is the man, the myth,
product manager. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, he's the guy who makes sure everything happens and has lists and is properly brainstormed and he strategizes.
Can you imagine having a guy like that? Being a guy like that?
Well, Steve is your John, right?
Steve is my John, and Linda is my new.
And Linda's Linda, yours.
Yeah, my new
your John.
Pseudo kind of John. Yeah, Steve and Linda together, and Linda's name is Kelsey, of course.
Right.
They'll provide that capacity for me. So is John Rudolph Drexler like basically like managing the release of Flux? Is that how this is going?
So not like so. They have other stuff going on. So in a perfect world, I would love, I think, to offload like all of that maybe, but I'm also a control freak. I have big control problems. I struggle hiring anybody for anything. So I maybe thought that they would be that way, but now I'm like, you know, like coming up with a lot of things and wiring up a lot of things myself because I am that way. But yeah, so they're not in charge of the release or anything, but like I made a big list of like, here, install this stuff locally. This is for like Daniel and Jacob. Big list this morning of like, here's access to all the repos, get it all up locally and just brutally test everything. And anything that's broken or not perfect, make us a file for with a reproduction in a repo with comments explaining for me how to reproduce it. And then tomorrow or the next day or whatever, we'll get on a call. I'll pull down the repo. You watch me and I'll go through and fix everything. And then we'll rinse and repeat that.
Cool.
So that is right. QA is hugely valuable to me right now. And I didn't realize it until I'm on the call with them going like, I just need you guys. And then I realized like, oh, a massive thing that you guys can help me with is quality assurance. Like I'm not going to do quality assurance to the level that somebody would do it if that was their whole job, you know? So I'm excited about that to actually, hopefully because of Thunk, ship something that is like bulletproof out of the gate. Jank-free. Not
gotta
like
be jank-free.
Open source. We'll figure it out as we go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's make this thing good, like right now, you know? That's
great. That's a good use of the Thunk Boys.
I'm hiring people for something. Like, it's not
I'm
my
so
nature.
Proud of you.
I know. Thanks. That's I'm paying
great.
Money for people.
It's amazing. So. You don't have to do everything yourself. That's
do
crazy.
You have this? I have this problem where, to me, a developer's time, unless you're Jason Beggs and are doing something hyper targeted that you're an expert in. Is like such a waste of time. Like how much time is a developer when you're working on like you know, your life app or whatever, like anything. How much time is your just finger in your nose, you know? Like,
very little finger and nose time over here.
Right. You would have a glove on.
I don't have my surgical gloves here at the office.
But you know what I mean? Like, how much are you chasing a curiosity or fixing a bug that you haven't, like, pulled your head out of the sand to realize is the wrong path? Or, you know what I mean?
These days, primarily chasing a curiosity. Just given the nature of my work / business, like, now it's very important to me that I chase curiosities, because that gives me good stuff to talk about. I'm doing very little man of the people, every man coding stuff, where I'm just like cranking out features anymore.
Right.
I still have some of that to do, because we are running our own, you know, screencasting platform. Yeah. And so there's still some stuff that, like, just needs to be fixed. A lot of it is just kind of like dorking around, you know, figuring out what's fun.
I mean, I get that, because that similarly is like a lot of my work. And that's curiosity breeding, you know, fun ideas, cool stuff to talk about, whatever. You can just, the job is to pull the thread, you know?
Yes.
And follow that, like, as far as
which
it goes.
Is, if I recall correctly, where Livewire came from. You just kind of were like, huh, I wonder. And you just kept going.
Yeah, it is. And to this day, and like working on a lot of this stuff with Flux and whatever, there's been plenty of threads that I've just indulged, you know, and like, and come up with cool stuff and like, oh, this is sick, whatever. But hiring people for, like, you know, if you needed somebody to build out your platform, it's like, I would hire somebody. It's like you hire a roofer, 12 people descend on your house for one day.
Oh, man.
They do the entire roof. They know every step of the process. One person subs and the other person subs in. It's like, that is such a good use of my money. I trust it. And if I'm hiring Jason Beggs to convert a design to whatever, it's like, I trust it. It's an effective use of money.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm hiring somebody to figure something out because I don't have time to, it's like, that is such a waste of money. Like,
yep. No, I
that's
agree.
The
that's
the problem with hiring
that's
developers for me.
Interesting distinction. We do, we do like to over-engineer and follow our own curiosities. And when we're doing it on someone else's dime, it's even better.
Right. And we do it all the time.
Do it all the time.
It's part of the job. Like, how else do you learn to do anything? But it's like, because so much of the work is bespoke. It's like, here, build this, invent a custom machine for me.
Right.
You know, that's the job. It's like, of course I have to, you know, pick my nose and, like, whatever.
I don't know what's going on over there.
I have to use this nose. I have like a, like the allergies.
Well, that's a dry air or something. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff to pick. But anyway, I thought that was just an interesting thing that like, I wonder if others feel, or if it's easier for you to hire a developer to do something. It's just hard for me.
Yeah. It's hard for me too. I think that's why, I'm so excited about Kelsey starting today, by the way. So she starts after we get off this call.
Nice.
Because she's not a developer, and she's got so many skills that I don't have, and Steve maybe has, but doesn't really have time to do. And so I'm hoping that with her skills, she can cover a lot of our weaknesses and keep the business like going smoothly.
Yeah, it seems like an essential piece, so that you're not doing this, but just to clarify, like, she's doing support, task management, strategy, stuff like that.
Yeah, so she'll be doing frontline support, so she'll be manning the email inbox, and so that's stuff like purchasing power parity requests, question inbound sponsorship requests, which is interesting. You know, she'll be able to negotiate some of that stuff. And then she's going to be doing a lot of the, like, so, like, I need to be more regularly scheduling people for this database school, you know, podcast thing. And I just need to have her reach out and schedule times with people. And that's just something that I, like, it falls by the wayside because I'm doing other things. And then I look up and I'm like, ah, shoot, I really should be talking to more people about this kind of stuff. She'll be handling all of that kind of stuff, and including, like, you know, anytime someone sends us an email that has a testimonial embedded within it, she'll be taking that testimonial out and putting it on our website and stuff like that. Great. Where it's like, that's an obvious best practice, right? If somebody says something nice, tell everyone else, hey, this person said something nice about me. Don't you want to give me money? And it's just like, oh, great. I closed that email. I'm going to move on. But with Kelsey there, she can say, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm going to take that and turn that into a testimonial on the website. It's like, yes, that's what I need.
There's so much of that. That's just like that. That's such a good pitch for that position, is literally just the person who finds the testimonials as they come by and does something with.
Yes.
Them. Yeah. And I wonder how much that makes a difference in the, you know, the business itself. Like, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think my estimation is there are. Before we go looking for new, novel, and interesting ways to grow the business, we need to first exhaust all of the obvious things. And we have yet to exhaust all the obvious things. And
that's
so
a good way to think of it.
I'm trying to do everything that is plain on its face a good idea. And we'll see what happens. And then beyond that, we can, you know, we can invent the universe or whatever. But right now, it's just like, hey, people said nice things and you need social proof on your website. So let's start there.
Yeah. Delegation is a strength of yours from where I'm standing, at least because of like things like you're the finance person. Like, did that stuff work out? Like even family help, like there, I never take initiative, even if I think like, oh, it'd be great to have, but you do take at least the initiative. Did that work out, the financial thing?
So I had a household bookkeeper, and she did bookkeeping for like my my holding LLC that doesn't have very much going on there. So I had a household bookkeeper for like a year or two.
Sweet.
That just like ran our YNAB for us.
That's great.
And it was great. Like it was really helpful. We had calls every month with her to talk through everything. And it was helpful, but it didn't change my behavior at all.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I don't know that it ended up like meaning anything to me. So it felt kind of nice to have like everything in its place in terms of the YNAB categories. But then because I didn't do it, I would look at it and it wasn't like it had no impact on me. It was not the fruits of my labor. And so I'd look at it and be like, I guess that looks fine. I'm going to do whatever I want and we'll true it up later. It's like, well... That's not exactly super helpful. So had to let her go and it was totally fine. That's just what she does. She's a freelancer who does that. I'm trying to think of other areas of my life that I've delegated. I've tried to hire for this Linda position a few times, but not in the realm of TryHard Studios, more in the realm of like, let's manage Aaron's online life.
And we had a conversation a year or two ago. I just remember walking forever and talking with you about like, you were like, I want somebody to show up every morning and just watch me do the things I should be doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's crazy.
That was like, this is what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. So I hired, I hired a few people and it just never really stuck. I think I hired three people on and off part time. And it was usually just like friends of friends or like my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
And it was never enough time. So they were always like, hey, I have a few hours a week. I can fit in some stuff here and there. And it would have been great if I had some like some very discreet tasks to hand them. But what I wanted was somebody more to take some of the decision making off of my plate and tell me like, hey, do this thing, or you just published that, now publish this as a compendium or something like that. And it was always like, hey, what discrete thing do you want me to do? And I'll get back to you in a week or a week and a half. And it was like, I don't know. I just really don't.
It's so hard. Like you want yourself, if you were in that mode, if it was your job to just be thinking about what you should do next, you would be excellent at it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But you can't do that and do the things.
No.
But hiring for that is very difficult. Like somebody to be able to tell you what to do next needs all the context of what you're doing,
yes,
what you've done and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know, at least to me so far, an impossible thing to solve. But clearly many people have solved it.
Yeah.
And your current Linda.
Clearly. yeah.
Like, hopefully is it.
I hope so. And I think one thing that is definitely going to be in her favor is that we are committing 20 hours a week to her. So it's not just like,
right,
hey, just, you know, do a couple hours a week where you can. We'll add tasks to this thing. It's like, no, you're pretty much working a half day every day of the week. And so you're going to be here. You're going to be a part of the business. It's not just like this random outsider. And so, and hopefully as time goes on, we can, you know, fill 40 hours. Well, we can probably fill it. We can afford 40 hours of her time every week. That would be awesome. But I think this is going to help her be more integrated, just treating it like a real job. Like, that seems pretty straightforward. Maybe I should have thought of that.
Yeah, right. That is an important piece of it.
I don't know how you're running your empire solo still.
Yeah, I think you can just do it forever because a lot of the stuff, I mean, I'm sure I'll have, I think it's hard to grow like that. But even with paying people, the times I've paid people, it's like, whatever I put my attention on is the thing that grows. Mm-hmm. Whether somebody else is doing the work or not, it's like, it's really just a matter of my focus. So it just became like, if I don't hire, I'm hiring the people to help me with this, but I have to even put even more focus on that now. And if I'm putting that much focus on it, like I can do a lot of it myself and then I don't have to pay them and then I make a lot more money.
Yeah.
So it's probably like a destructive mentality, but, and there's a lot of, you know, you've heard me blab about this, but it's always like, what if you did that job yourself? Like what would, like you could do that too. Or like how much do the testimonials matter? Like, you look at a really like established business and somebody clearly is doing that and that's awesome. But it's like, does that make the difference? And how much are they wasting on people that do stuff like that as opposed to just like shipping valuable things, as opposed to just like knowing the thing to ship and driving hard to ship it and then rinse and repeating that cycle is like the only thing I know. And I think it could carry me pretty far, but it, but I, the obvious holes in the plot are maintaining the things after they've shipped.
Right.
And then shipping bigger things, which you can do a lot yourself in a year. If you had 1 year to work on a project,
can you imagine
what you could do? Like,
I could do so much.
You could do so much. So that's sort of what I've been toying with as well. Like I've been pretty dark for like 9 months on Flux and have just worked on it solely. And now I like woke up and I'm like, oh, this thing's freaking huge. Like, this is cool. Like one person can do this. I had a designer help and whatever, but anyway, so I don't know. At least that's like my working philosophy so far, because every time I ever try to get help, it just doesn't work out for me. So I just don't try as much.
Have you tried getting help on the admin side versus the development side?
Jason Beggs is the closest I've had to that. And he's great with that. Like the partners program, Jason and I, do 50-50 and
the Livewire partners program.
Yeah, it's so fantastic because it runs unlike everything else in my life. It is just everybody is promptly responded to, calls are planned and communicated. Everything is really tight. And that's you just because gotta show Jason, up. So. Yeah, and with Alpine Components, when I partnered with him on that, it was the same way. It's like the things are taken care of. But the problem with Jason is he's not an admin. He's a great dev and a business person.
Right.
So it's like every time I partner with him, he costs me so much money.
Right.
It's like the admin stuff, I need like Linda, you know? So I hope you have success with Linda and I can take her other 20 hours or...
somebody has already asked for her other 20 hours.
Yeah.
Somebody already reached out and was like, hey, what's your Linda doing for the other 20 hours?
Right. You're going to regret ever saying her real name.
I know. I agree. I agree about Jason. He's highly qualified and therefore expensive. And so to have him have him doing that kind of stuff feels a little overpowered. But yeah, so tell me, like, during this 9 months that you're dark, who are you spending, like, the first, like Taylor does, the first hour or two every morning addressing issues, and then you get to go off into your happy place?
So I was good about that for 7.5 months. I was very good about that, Aaron Francis.
Uh-oh, wait, 9 months dark, 7.5
There's
good.
There's a giant pile of issues, pull requests, and emails and support tickets.
Dang it.
And now the dishes have piled up and I won't even look at them until after Laricon.
Of course not. No.
It's like, what's one going to do? You know, it's like after, what difference is one going
to
make?
After you don't respond to a text for 2 days, it's like, he was a good friend. Pity I'll never talk to him again.
Yeah. Yep. This is that. Exactly. I'm in too deep. I've gone too far. Yes. There's no responding to any of these people anymore. Yes. Yeah. So that's what's happening with that. But in a perfect world, yeah, I don't know how Taylor does it.
I don't either.
But I will always keep trying, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So I'll keep trying to do the Taylor, and I get better every time. So that's an important signal.
7.5 months is a long time. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't do anything consistently for more than a month. So that was, this is a new record for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, derailed at 7.5.
Yeah, well,
so
it was fun. It was fun while it lasted.
It was fun while it lasted. Dude.
So,
I fought my nature so hard for so long. And then
I remember hearing about it on Notes on Work.
Yeah.
I thought, he's really,
you know,
I
got
really
a return to give the real picture. Cause you know, people like,
yeah,
they tout their achievements proudly at the beginning. And then you're like, yeah, it's so much so that when anybody is doing any new habit for any time less than like 2 months or something, and they tweet about it or whatever, I'm just like, I just file it away and like, okay, good for you, but tell me in 6 months, like,
okay,
there's
bud.
An 80% chance that this thing that's changing your life right now is just because it's a new thing, you know?
Yep.
That's what, you know, not that that's anything wrong with that, but
no,
you know,
there's anything wrong with that. So you're about to release this thing. It's August 12th. Laricon is Laricon in 2 weeks.
Well,
is
I have two
right?
working weeks. So we have the
two
all of
weeks.
This week and all of next week to work.
Okay.
And
okay.
then the next week it's Laricon. Yeah.
So I'll give you two options.
Yeah.
What's the lead up? What's the launch lead up / launch look like? That's option S, option A. And option two is what's the status of the project? How do you feel about it? How much more do you have to do? Are you excited, nervous? So you can give us kind of logistics or kind of vibes.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I'm more excited about this than it feels like anything before, but I was also very excited for pretty much like LiveWire 3, LiveWire 1, LiveWire 2, whatever. But I'm super excited about it. Totally amped.
Okay.
I'm super proud of it. I love using it a ton. So that's awesome.
That is awesome.
And yeah, I feel like I should just tell people what it is. Like, let's figure that out. Should I tell people what it is before Laricon? Like, I could do it right now. We got to figure
right
out, like, is it better? The only reason I'm holding out is like, isn't it fun to show up to something like and not know anything and then see it? Like, that's a really fun experience to have as an audience member.
It is. I've walked into a few movies that way where I'm like, I literally have never seen a trailer for this. I just know the title and that this person is in it. And I'm going to go see what happens. I think you should wait. I really do. As much as I want the scoop. As much as it would be good for, you know, number to go up, I think you should wait.
Yeah. So then strategically, for me, it's settled, right? Like if you're an audience member, like it's like an Apple keynote or something. It's just so fun to be like, what is coming out? Like what is next? You know?
Yeah.
There's rumors. We're pretty sure we know, but like, you know, could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. But strategically, it's like, well, nobody knows anything about it. So this giant email list has no idea about it. And the 1,000 people who are at Laricon, which 500 of them use Inertia or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the 500 that use LiveWire, I'm doing this all so that they have an awesome experience. Or is it like, no, treat it like you'd hype anything and like start teasing it, showing bits of it, getting people prepped in some way, you know?
Mm.
Should people know the nature of the project? Like, because you know the nature. Aaron saw it last week.
Mm-hmm.
Should people know or not?
I don't think so. I don't think people should know.
Okay.
And I think the overwhelming reason I think that right now is it's going to be more impactful if you explain / show demo the whole thing.
Right.
And that will pack quite a punch versus like dripping out screenshots on Twitter. It's possible that people would be underwhelmed by a single screenshot because they don't understand the nature of it. That's my guess.
True. Right. Like by totally holding out, I reserve the ability to control the narrative in the sense that like you get to hear it from me first. You get to experience it through me first.
Yes.
Which when you experience it through me, you'll love it. Mm-hmm. If you didn't experience it through me, you'd have assumptions about it and correct. You might not love it. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. That's good. I think that makes a ton of sense. I'm in. Let me ask you this.
So then the question, go.
No, I won't.
So then the question is, how do you warm up the email list? Like, what are you?
Yeah.
How are you prepping people to buy
10 purchases,
10 things you should buy? Yeah. And then do you have launch goals for this? I mean, you've worked on this for 9 months in the dark.
Well, I thought it was going to be free for like 8 of those months. So
yeah.
The goals have shifted.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I don't need this to be the biggest like monetary success launch. I just want people to use it and make it better and fall in love with it and make it like a really good project that everybody loves. Yeah. And then maybe we can like really capitalize, I guess. But no, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're talking like launch strategy or stuff.
Well,
like,
hang on. I want to ask a question about that. So for 8 months, it was going to be free.
Yeah.
And then for the 9th month, it's not. And then you said it doesn't need to be the biggest monetary success. You just want people to use it, love it, and make it better.
Yeah.
That sounds like something that would be free.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to make money. People need to use it and make it better. That sounds like free to me.
The reason it's not free, which was what we've talked about ad nauseum, is that you can't give software away for free and prevent everybody from scooping you.
Mm.
Yep.
How many emails or DMs did you get about that episode?
Adam was the only person who DM'd me about it. He was like, yeah, he DM'd me about it. So.
Because moving on, I guess.
So the
primary reason for charging is to enforce some sort of like
have a walled garden
quarantine.
Now that I've like decided to charge money for it, I've reminded myself. So there was a month before even working on it that I thought there was years that it was going to be a paid thing.
Well, that
it was
my quickly, you know
yeah. And then I just was like, no, for the whole duration of the project, and now I'm back. So there's a lot of good reasoning behind it that like this is my big play. You know,
yeah,
it's like this is a play that I could use to turn this into an actual business that functions more healthily and is more productive and, you know, can set me up to have like a real business and a retirement and blah, blah, blah. So all that stuff. So this is the thing that now my sights are set on it, like propelling me into the next level of business, you know? So.
Okay. So it doesn't need to be the biggest monetary success, but it also needs to provide for your retirement and propel you to the next level.
I guess what I mean by it doesn't need to be the biggest monetary success is I care more about it being awesome and people loving it.
Yeah.
Like obviously those two things are in tension all the time, but at the early stages this is what I mean. I don't need it to make all its money in day one, you know?
Got it. Okay.
It's better that this thing is well received and is really good and makes money over time. So that's what I mean when I say that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So this is the foundations of a new or larger empire.
Yeah.
Upon which you will build. Okay.
Hopefully. The goal. That's
so let's
become
work
the
backwards
goal.
From Laracon. You're gonna get up on stage, do a demo, and then you're gonna say it's ready. Is that right?
It's either gonna be beta ready or ready. I'm actually toying with the idea of skipping beta. How bad of an idea is that?
It's a great idea. It's bold.
Right? Like, everybody hates beta. Nobody likes beta.
What does beta even mean?
What does it mean?
It's not going to stop anybody from doing anything.
No. The thing I'm extremely afraid of is resenting some of the API decisions a month later and having to like wait a year to tag a new release or something. And that maybe I can just cut scope a little bit, like keep some things a little like sort of, you know, like I do in Livewire sometimes, like I'll keep a feature private, basically, or keep something in user land that you have to copy and paste so that I'm not like API bound for like a major version. So maybe I just like if there's anything I'm not 100% on, maybe just pluck it out so that it's like we'll just wait and make sure. Dude, I could even do a 1.0 and then have like an experimental branch or something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I don't know. But okay. I mean, from where, right. Like for, as an audience person, as somebody just, you want 1.0, you want day one. You're like, yeah, let's get going with this thing. You know, it's going to have to shake out some things. And of course, we're all going to be right there, clickety clacking away to make sure it's rock solid. But dude, 1.0 day one.
1.0 day one. Let's it's a power go. Move.
Yeah. Beta is like wishy-washy.
It is.
That's a soft move. It's like
soft. Yep.
Show up and just put it down. Like
put some oomph behind it. All right. So on stage, you're going to release 1.0. You're going to say it's you go buy it right now. I'm going to run out on stage and say, congratulations. Amazing talk. Everybody go buy it. Okay. So there's that. Backing up. What has to be done? You got 2 weeks. What do you still have? You got to email people.
The app. Yeah, I got to email people. I'm building the app like to manage like
licenses like, and stuff.
The infrastructure, licenses and the system to, you know, activate licenses and all that stuff. And it's all bespoke right now. And I probably should have just used any stack.
Yeah. Any stack.
Which you used for Refine.
I did. It was great.
What do you think about that?
I think it's great. I mean, if you can make the number, like if you can make the numbers make sense, I forget what they charge.
It's worth it. I think.
Like $99 a month plus I don't know, a percent or something.
For like 2,500 active licenses or something.
It's so worth it.
I think I would need a white label though, because I need you to be logged on to fluxui.dev. Like I don't want you to have to like create any stack account. I would need it like API, like white labeled.
I know he's got a pretty extensive API, but I don't know the extent to which the user management stuff is API driven.
I mean, it makes sense that like for most people using any stack, you wouldn't want to manage any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, correct. I need people to only have, they can't log into two things for Flux, and I need them to be logged into my app so that I can track them and know who they are and whatever.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm toying between two things, between making it like a private packages situation like Nova and all that stuff, and like hand rolling some kind of custom thing that like is more friendly than that, where you just like composer require, pop in a license key and get going and not have to like, so maybe how much do you dislike the experience of like putting keys and stuff in a composer.json that accesses a private packages?
How much friction is that? Medium dislike it. I just installed Nova again the other day, which Nova's great. Love Nova. And again, had to do like the auth.json.
Yeah.
And then figure out like, I can't really commit that to Git, but anyway. But like, how do I like get it into GitHub Actions and then get the auth.json onto Forge? And like, it's not terrible. But yeah, if you had a system that was like, hey, composer require flux installer and then run flux install and paste your key and suddenly everything works. Well, that's kind of cool. I don't know how you do that though.
Oh, it's like there's no way you do it in a bulletproof way.
Yeah.
But you just do it to keep good people good, you know, to make it easy for good people to be good, which I think is good enough for me. I talked to Jack McDade a bunch about it, and that's his philosophy is like you just keep good people good. And they're generally good. The bad people are going to be bad anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, just don't make it so easy that a good person is like, I'll get to that. You know?
Yeah.
Like, put it in their way. Make it so that they have to literally, like, pick a lock, you know? And then you'll root out, like, most of the people.
Letting good people accidentally be bad is the pattern of, hey, you can install it, but make sure you pay before you go to production. It's like, I forgot.
Right. I'm never going to do that.
Whoopsie-doopsie.
So Statimic puts a flag in it. They don't even prompt you for anything until you're in production. And then the admin panel has a flag at the top. But this doesn't have an admin panel. So, and I can't like interrupt a production process at all. So my situation's kind of like flipped. Like I might want to not put anything in your way in production and just make your life harder if your app is in debug mode, you know? But even then, there's all this weirdness of like, how much are you allowed to ping your own server from a composer package? It's like, how much are
there's a certain type of person that's not going to like that at all.
Oh, yeah. Right.
They're going to say you're like, spying on them.
Yeah. But there's projects. So I think Astro, maybe a few projects have like telemetry enabled by default, like literally. Isn't that bold? I read it in a footnote on, I think it's Astro, but it might be another project, a JavaScript project. that it's like telemetry by default, they're sending usage information to themselves. And I was like, that is sick.
Yeah.
As a maintainer, it's like, you know so much about your users and you can easily disable it.
Nobody disables anything.
Never. Never. Nobody does anything
nobody
ever.
Nobody does anything ever. That is 100% true.
You just gotta like put that on a plaque and then that makes all your decisions easier.
It's true.
It's like, oh, nobody does anything
nobody
ever.
Nobody does anything.
Never.
Okay, so you're rolling your own.
I'm trying to and deciding if it's like a horrible idea, but yeah, it's like, because you don't, so you're saying with like Nova, you don't want to commit an auth file to your project, mm-hmm. because why? Because
it's a secret and you're not supposed to. That's
so
it.
If it's like a private company project,
which it is,
then it's fine.
Which is why I'm going to go ahead and commit it. Yeah.
Right. But there's something in your head that says that's not fine.
Yes. There's something in my head that says
it should be ENV.
It should be a secret that you have to go put there yourself so that it stays out of the history forever.
What if the license key for this was just in an ENV file?
I'm into
Is that.
Is that
better? Because there's a carved path for that. It's like you set a project up, you need stuff. Like,
yeah.
You're going to need a Stripe webhook thing and my Torchlight key that I have to have on anything.
And even Nova has a key in the ENV file, but the actual package installation is behind a paywall or a password wall.
Yeah.
And so that's where the auth JSON, you have to have that for Composer.
I've been burnt
work.
By that with Nova setting other people's apps up. It's like, why can't I can't set up your app because of your admin panel?
Yep,
it's like,
exactly.
Oh, that sucks.
Yep.
So let's say this, the license key is in an ENV file.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get that from, you know, your whatever the person giving you the package.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to give you your ENV.example or whatever. And then every new install, it's like, oh, you have it in your ENV file, but you don't have some like not Git controlled key file that's like that you're not supposed to touch.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, I got to make a call to the server quick. Like you got to run like Artisan Flux Activate or something.
Mm.
And then it goes to the server. It's like, oh, here's a new license thing. Validate this project.
I see. So are you saying you're going to try to paper over the Composer weirdness by saying like I've got a command that looks in the ENV and then it does whatever needs to be done to satisfy Composer and then you can install everything?
Yeah, well, it'll install. So what I'm thinking is I might make this a public repository, but make it a paid project. What do you think of that?
I don't think that's going to get you where you want to be. I think that's...
Is this a why do you hate money decision?
Maybe. I mean...
So Statamic/CMS is a public repository.
Yeah.
All of Statamic is public. You can install it on your machine right now for free.
God, we're just really back to the what is open source question, aren't we?
Well, this would be like literally the license would not be MIT. It would say this is like a paid thing. You
it's
can't
just source
copy
available.
This.
Like you can look at it.
Yeah, source available.
You can't.
This is we're not back to that because this is a carved path. Like Craft CMS does this, Statamic does that, and I would take their license and put my name in it and just, you know, like if I catch you, then I could like DCMA you or whatever and be like, you're
good
wrong.
Luck. Yeah. I don't know. I don't like it.
But if it's private, okay. So you're thinking like, just make the private part easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just have like a Composer Liveware/useflux or something that's like an easy way to have a nice experience.
I think
or something
so.
Like that. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
I just don't want to fiddle with private packages. Wouldn't it be so nice if it was just public?
It would be. It would be so much nicer. But if your goal is to like keep it from the bad guys.
Well, the bad guys can just buy it.
Yeah, of course
like,
they can.
They're going to buy it. But are they going to feel like they have more license to take it if it's totally on GitHub availably?
Yeah, I think they are.
Right. Like just implicitly, they're going to be like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And honestly, you're just never going to stop the bad guys. You're just not.
You do need
to make it as easy as possible for the good guys to use it.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if you should even worry about it, frankly. I think you should just use something that's already been made and move on.
In any stack situation, private packages set up?
Yeah, any stack or go your route and make it public. I don't think you should tinker too much with coming up with a novel installation solution.
Well, I feel like that's my only option if it's public, you know,
is a novel
solution, because all the source code is there. So there has to be something in that source code to stop you from using it if it doesn't validate, and it needs to validate. And if it's just a license and an ENV key, it's like, well, I have to make a request to validate that. When do I make that request? Mm-hmm. And how do I know not to make that once it's valid, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, so all roads to me in that path lead to, like, you run a command and it sets some like flux.key file that's a bunch of jumbled up encrypted stuff that you don't touch, but it's just like, when in flux code path, it goes, up, this file exists, it's valid, we're good, you know?
Yeah,
I know how long you get updates for. I know all that stuff. You're good.
Sounds cool.
So, okay, I don't know.
Sounds like that would be very cool. I think, I don't know if that's a good use of time at this point.
Dude, you're telling me. I know.
We already knew that. Okay. Well, yeah, it sounds right. Awesome. You should do it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay. Aaron Francis, if you care to pivot, I have a business idea for you along these lines.
I love a business idea.
Do you need another opportunity?
No, but tell me anyway.
Were you going to say, like, I don't know how long you guys, what do you do with this podcast? What's your cap on this?
We record it and then we release it. That's what we do. It's easy peasy. We'll go as long as we want. As long as I have energy, we'll keep going.
Yeah, yeah. You just do the, you know, you do the stuff where you go like, you're like, yeah, all right, well, thanks for, you know, you just kind of...
the dad
kinda,
wrap up.
Yeah, or just even like stretch. Just be like...
Well, gang, we did another
time
one.
Time to be hitting that's the dusty trail. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, gang, that's how you know that dinner's over.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's time to clean up. Dad's sleepy. We got the old well, gang. Sometimes it's with a you rub the hands together, too. So you go, well, all right, I guess we're going to head out. Yeah.
Yeah. You had a more folksy dad than I did, I think.
Yeah, I think maybe so. Big guy's not very folksy.
No.
Ah, that's too bad. Yeah, all right, hit me with the idea that I don't have time to do, but I want to do anyway.
That you could make money on. Here's my
premise.
You're
speaking my language.
Here's my premise. I use a project of yours on almost all of my projects for free. I never pay you any money.
Bad
and
start.
I would happily pay you Flare money. Like, let me pay you $30 a month. Please. It would be a no-brainer. Torchlight.
$30 a month?
The people who need Torchlight are the people who are getting it for free, Aaron.
Yeah, no, super, super correct.
Why are you giving it to open source? They're the people who need it.
Yeah. Like, just the goodness of my heart and the stupidity of my brain.
Dude,
that's the two reasons.
It's so stupid.
It's so stupid.
I would have made the same
decision.
So I keep wanting
goodness,
to
though.
Make all of these. Right. I keep wanting to be good. This is my problem. So let me tell you why you hate money. Okay. Why do you hate money? And whatever. So I still use Torchlight.
It's great, isn't it?
It's great.
It's
so
great.
Here's the thing. It's not great.
Oh, no.
It's better than everything else. But you know that if you gave it a month, it could be way better.
I do know that.
Things off the bat that could be tweaked. Even just the docs. Like, even visually.
Yep.
You know?
I agree.
Everything like that. You could give it a month and you could make Torchlight 2.
Mm-hmm.
It would
name.
Look...
Did you just come up with that? That's a great name.
2TOO.
Ah!
That's
I love it.
What I
That's
was
so
thinking.
Clever. Yeah.
Yeah. So Torchlight 2. And then you just launch it with pricing for people that they have to pay.
Here's the thing about Torchlight. I think it is technically very good. And I agree there are some rough edges and it needs to be, you know, polished and cared for. I think as a business, it's very, very bad.
Yeah, so it's not a great business. I should have left it there. I said it was a way to make money.
What are you doing?
I don't know what I said, but it's a way to make money because I use it and other people like me use it.
Uh-huh.
How do you know how many people use it?
No clue.
Is it?
I know. Like, I know you and Taylor Atwell use it, and that's good enough for me.
Dude, yeah, we use it. It really is so much better and easier, even though it kills me. Like, I'm literally making a request to generate this stuff.
I know.
What, like, even in production?
Yeah.
This is crazy to me.
It's crazy.
I get Torchlight exceptions, like, somewhat regularly, but the Blade files are cached. So whatever.
Right.
A Torchlight exception happens, you just run it again, it works, then it's cached.
Right.
Who cares?
Not great.
It It's not great. I have to carry a license key with me for code highlighting.
You're saying what I'm saying.
But I continue to use it on all my projects. So
it's that much better than everything else that it's covering all of those sins.
Yes. Gosh. For me, it is. And for Taylor, it is. It's like, wow, to really have like the best syntax highlighting, because it's actually VS Code or whatever, like highlighting it, to have the best blade and a, like more like an Alpine, like stuff that you're not going to get with Highlight.js or anything. Server generated, super lightweight. On the server, it's incredibly, on the browser, it's incredibly lightweight. And just like rendered, there's highlighting. There's all the things that I need. There's blurring out the background. It's great. And the little annotations, the bracket.
Those annotations are great, aren't they? Yeah,
they're great, except I always forget which order the exclamation point goes, whatever, in the shortcut. Because it's inconsistent with another project. And so you guys should just sync up.
Okay, we'll just have them change theirs.
Yeah. Oh, duh.
Yeah, it's perfect.
So, yeah, Aaron, I don't know. I use it and I'm like, man, if there's enough people that use this and Aaron could just like hire, just pay somebody, be like, I'm going to give you... $500
Jason
to well you might have to pay more than $500
Shoot.
don't pay Jason just like pay someone scrappy or whatever, I don't know, or don't put $1,000, put $2,000 into it and just make me pay you 30 or like maybe $25 a project.
Here's,
you get Alpine, you get LiveWire 1, 3, so yeah, I'd be paying you like 100 something a month.
Okay, so here's the meta question. Am I, do I have limiting beliefs? Because I hear you say $25 a month a project for syntax highlighting. And I think there's no way anyone else in the entire world would pay for that.
I don't know, dude. It's like, okay, so maybe there's a part of it where you have to get people using it before they fork over for it. But also like people wrestle with this stuff, you know, even just your landing page. And it's like, this is better than everything. They want to use what people use and what's better. Dude, I pay $650 for a month for emails.
Yeah, but
they're
emails
gouging me.
They are gouging you.
Mail Coach is free. All of the alternatives are cheaper. It's like, but you want that thing. So with Torchlight, here's my premise on why I think you could charge for it more than you think.
Tell me.
It's like Flair.
Okay.
There's a server somewhere doing stuff for me regularly, of course I have to pay $25 a month.
Got it.
There's a server or something doing something for me.
Right.
Duh, I need to pay. Yeah. They're literally keeping a computer alive for me, you know, in somebody's basement somewhere, I'm guessing. And I, forever. So, yeah.
Yeah, fated to highlight syntax for the rest of its life. okay. That's interesting.
So, I don't know. You should at least figure out how many people use it. Do you have this information in a database? Fortunately, you can collect it pretty easily because we're hitting your servers.
You sure are. I do have that information in a database somewhere.
Do you know how to use databases? Yeah,
I don't even know what a database is, I'll be honest.
We're doing it live, Aaron.
All right, let's see if we can find... Here's interesting. I don't even know...
You have a way bigger platform now, too. If you did Torchlight 2 or whatever, just call it like Aaron Light or something.
I don't know. Torchlight 2 is a pretty good name. All
right.
Torchlight
Fraud.
It's a great name. Nope, that's not the right connection. I can't connect to that. I don't know if I know where this database is right now. That's silly, isn't it?
You keep looking. I think it is incredible that this thing, like you made the decision to host this instead of just put it on their computer and then run it themselves in the background. Like I would have been like, oh yeah, we'll just like put Sheiky or whatever. Like we'll bundle it up and then, you know, and then we'll just hit it locally. But
it's no good. I mean, it's no.
I'm happy.
You can't.
I'm not
it
happy
in the browser that well.
But I'm willing to. No, I mean on my server.
Why
am I not generating these things myself on my server? You know, like Puppeteer or something. I would do for like screenshots or whatever.
Yeah. The reason is because of Node. I didn't want to make people install Node.
Yep. So that is also the reason why you could actually make money from this and not make money.
Yeah. I don't know where this database is. I'll have to find this later.
Well,
step one.
Yeah, so I don't know, something, Aaron, but, and it's probably, I don't know. I'm about to say like, it's the worst use of your time. It's the least good like option, but it's the only option that has like good recurring income at the moment, right?
At the moment,
a SaaS app, something that could actually build. And once people use it, they're going to stay on it. They're not going to switch.
Here's
this is
a question
not something,
for you.
Yeah.
So for Torchlight 2, TOO, does it move you?
Or Torchlight also.
Torchlight also. That's, yeah.
Torchlight also.
It's like the image of the thing no longer bears a resemblance to the thing. I just call it Torchlight also now.
It's Torchlight also.
So for Torchlight also, does moving it away from server side mean anything to you? Like if you could just drop a script on, like a script tag on your page, does that move you at all?
I'm not going to pay monthly for it. No way.
But is that better?
Oh, right. I'm probably going to do that myself. Yes.
You're probably going to do that yourself.
Yeah. Like I'm probably going to, so I'm doing all of this editor work for my talk. Like I need a code editor that, why do I need something that's not Torchlight? Because for some reason, yeah, for some reason, like Torchlight precludes me from, you know, it already changes the code into the tokens before it hits the browser. And I actually need to have the raw code and then the tokens. So I have both. But anyway, yes, I think there's so many better, interesting ways to just make this a front end thing.
So if it still did the sends the blocks off to me to do the then awesome highlighting. Yeah. But the way that you install it is you just drop a script tag on your front end and you don't have to worry about Blade on, you know, parsing it on the back end.
Oh,
does that move you?
Well, then I'm taxing everybody with slowness because they have to hit your server.
Potentially.
Yeah, no, that doesn't move me. No.
So you like the idea of it running on the server and you sending out fully highlighted stuff.
Yeah, I want it to. That's a big pro of it to me. I think a big selling point is like this is, you know, like static code. Mm-hmm. So like people get it and it's blazing fast. There's not some JavaScript weird thing unrelated. It's not going to break it.
Mm-hmm.
Static, easy to style. Like, no, it's got to be server.
Got to be server.
If you're making a request, for sure.
Well, yeah, you could do it in such a way. Like I could make, and I've toyed with it. You could make it pretty fast by putting it on Fly and putting servers all over the place.
Yeah.
And then the page loads super fast. The script picks up the blocks, sends it off, brings them back. You don't like it.
And then the benefit to it is that you can then approach non-Laravel apps well.
Yes. You can do it on WordPress.
That is a massive benefit. But do that. You already have everything all built and ready to go. So just like launch this first and see if you can get the Laravel folks to pay you. But yeah, no, you're right. Like you would want to target the Astro because like people using Astro are people who need this kind of stuff because it's a lot of that style of app. It's not.
Yeah,
like,
but I feel like the people using Astro are already so deep in the JavaScript world that they're just pulling in Cheeky or something and they're doing it on the server themselves, you know?
Yeah. It's possible. I don't know. I think there is, you know, all of this goes against my unwillingness to wrap software, but you can just wrap Cheeky, call it something else, market it better and make it slightly easier. And then everybody will use it, even if it costs money. That's how it works. But there are things that like are killer features, which I guess Cheeky like has available. All right. What about highlighting a single line? How easy is that with Cheeky?
Highlighting, like drawing attention.
Yeah, your short codes and stuff.
It's pretty difficult.
Yeah, there you go. That's the value. Mm-hmm. That's what I need. Like, I need to be able to highlight a line and a group of lines.
And my philosophy with that is it has to remain valid code because the authoring experience just falls apart when you're like writing JavaScript and then you're throwing in this invalid, like made up syntax. And then like now you're editing and you hit, you know, format and everything's wonky. So I put a huge amount of effort into ensuring every annotation remains valid code.
That's interesting. That's good to hear you say that because my encounter, so this makes sense. And I go, that's great. And that's why we should use Torchlight. However, using it, I go, why the heck doesn't this short code work?
Mm-hmm.
What in the world? I literally copied and pasted this from the other code block, but I don't own any of the software. So I'm just doomed to like not figuring this out.
And why didn't it work?
Oh my gosh. It needs to be a PHP comment
or an
HTML comment.
Gotta it's be like, real code.
That is a I got hit with that multiple times.
Interesting.
And burnt a lot of time just like, I have no idea how to even start debugging this.
So it would just show up as a comment on your front end, and you're like, no, you're supposed to do
Where's the parsing? Where's the highlight going? It was the wrong language, and I'm like, wait, it uses the and it never occurred to me that like, oh, it's really important that it does that. That helps me. Mm-hmm. It was just like, oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, but it has to be a real comment in the language that you're using. Yes.
If I had heard the reasoning and been educated sooner, then it would have been part of the delight and could have compelled me to use Torchlight even more. But yeah, these are reasons to love Torchlight. And there's even like things that you could do, like if you could have subline highlighting, you know,
I could
just highlight like Tailwind has all over their docs. It's so nice.
It's so nice.
And it's like, this is something that's like, man, this is Torchlight also.
Yeah.
Torchlight also has subline highlighting.
Okay. So riddle me this. Let's walk down this path. Beyond charging Caleb and his two friends, you know, beyond charging three people $25 a month, that's the entirety of the market. What's the other move?
Yeah.
What's the other move? Provided that I don't hate money, because I don't, but I don't love money, because the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. You know? Sure. So we don't want to go that way. But let's say we don't hate it. We don't besmirch.
Yeah, we don't hate
begrudge. What's the move besides charging $25?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's okay. Obviously, Torchlight also to me and my three friends.
Right, yeah. Which, so there's like, $75
a month. I'll give you the list of things that I want.
Okay.
And then you can, you know, just do them.
I would do that. I would absolutely do that.
Yep. And then, you just launch it to your new audience of a zillion people as opposed to the audience you originally launched it to, which was me and my three friends.
Right. Back when I was poor and stupid. Now I'm...
Yeah. Now you're smart and smart well, poor. You're smart. You're smart and popular, so
yeah. We just changed the axis there.
What do you need? Right, just do a quick hop over to
Okay, so now that I'm smart and popular,
now you're smart and popular,
relaunch it to those people.
Right. So you already like will do much better because you know now there's going to be 10, 15 people that'll pay you.
Huge amounts of money.
But honestly, so much of this hinges on look at your stats and see how many people are just straight using it right now.
Yes.
Because there might be a play where it's like, oh, they're all using this. Yeah, you need their email addresses. Do you have email addresses?
Yeah,
I have a login for Torchlight.
If you signed up for a key, you've got... Yeah, I've got your
great.
Email.
You have accounts and stuff. You just,
step one sounds like find the database. That sounds like step one.
That is step one.
Okay.
You find the database. You see how many users.
Uh-huh.
And then now you have a list to launch to that's pretty flippin' warm, you know, that is excited to...
Honestly, I completely forgot that the Torchlight list exists because it doesn't exist in Bento. It just exists in this database that is who knows where. Okay. So we're good there.
You find that. It's okay. You find the database. So there's a chance that there's enough people that this does like validate itself.
Yep.
You know,
okay.
The idea validates itself. So you make the improvements. Torchlight also... You do a little product thing, but keep it minimal. Keep it MVP, you know, like don't like let this become the, you know, and then focus on the current target market, which is, you know, Laravel and then ship it. Assuming it's worth your time, which you have to validate, but a bigger play that like, and then this is just like a side SaaS app, but I do think that it is unique in that it is a great opportunity for actual recurring revenue that is, that there is tons of lock-in. Like once you're on it, you're not going to want to get off.
Yep.
And I think those two qualities make it like you're not going to have ideas like this coming out the wazoo. It's already validated. People are already using it and trust it and are happy to hype it.
They are.
I'm sure you already have testimonials, but I'll hype it. Taylor will hype it. Whatever. You can say used by Laravel, used by Alpine, used by LiveWire, used by whatever. Everybody else is using it. And then I guess then it's a big open question of like targeting other markets. It's people with doc sites that need it.
Right. But we're still thinking along the lines of charge a few people a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
Is there another move that is not, because I'll be honest, I feel like getting people to pay for syntax highlighting is always going to be an uphill battle to a small lifetime value. That's my feeling.
Oh, I don't know if it's a small lifetime value. That's my point. I think it's a big lifetime value. I think it's an uphill battle and you won't have like massive success with it. but
so what are we doing?
No, the lifetime value. Okay. Hear me out. Like, you could have extracted at least 500, probably $1,000 from me over the past, you know, few years.
Okay.
Like, no sweat. And that's okay. That's a big lifetime value.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
You know, it's like a service. Like, again, Flare. I want to know their numbers on Flare. I bet it's great. Once you're using Flare, totally. Every one of my apps pays for Flare.
$39.49?
Something like that. It's less than 50 for sure. Yeah, it's in that like 25, between 25 and 35 is the range that I'm willing to stomach. That like, yeah, another service added to the pile, 25, 35. It's great.
Okay.
Yeah, once you're like 50, like email support or something, then it's like, you better earn your keep. Otherwise, I'm going to see you on my bottom line. You're on the chopping block.
Right.
You know, so you keep it in that sweet spot. It'd be great if you could have some structure for monetizing like enterprise-y stuff and get like not a Stripe, but somebody like that. It's like, you know, you go hunting for like bad syntax highlighting and in developer and documentation.
Everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. And then just, you know, you pitch it and whatever, but
okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Again, there's so much to hate about all these ideas, but there are a few rare good things here, I think, as opposed to a lot of other things.
Is there, and I'm going to just for the last time, is there another way?
You mean like make it all free and benefit
make
from
it
another
free
way?
And then what?
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. I mean, you can turn this into an incredibly popular, well-loved project.
Okay.
Guaranteed.
Okay.
But I don't know why you make money from that.
That was what I was asking you.
All right. Okay.
All right. Come on.
Incredibly well-loved, right? Dude, done. Paywall the obscure highlighting. Paywall Blade, paywall MDX, whatever. Like, paywall obscure languages or paywall certain features like highlighting a word. Just paywall the niche features that, paywall niche features.
Free and pro.
Oh, and dude, tons of themes.
Themes.
You get 5 for free.
Themes.
You get
themes or
Monaco.
Paywall.
You get whatever. Dude, this is ripe for like, and I'm going to, you know, use the free thing. And it's like, damn, he has natty dark.
And yeah, dark and light mode being paywall, like the ability to have highlight a code block
based
in dark
on it
and light mode.
Sure. Maybe. Yeah. You got to decide what's free and not, but that could be one.
That could
for
be
sure.
One.
Yeah. I have to manually do that for Torchlight. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I think do I render 2 blocks every time or something? But I definitely have 2 different themes, 2 different backgrounds that hot swaps.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a feature. There you go. Yeah, there is Highlight.js exists, Prism exists. I mean, Shiki exists. All these things exist. Nothing is gloved, like just, yes. Nobody loves
this
any
is
of those
shocking
tools.
To me to hear. I'm shocked because I think I've grown to somewhat despise Torchlight because of its ability to be a business, which is minimal. But I put a lot of care into like the way that it is used by the end user. And I'm very proud of that. And so maybe I need to revisit this.
It's a benefit of Torchlight is you've already done a lot of hard work and a lot of thinking on it.
So much thinking.
It's already a business.
It is weird.
That could be on like Acquire, Micro Acquire, whatever that's called I don't know. Do you make revenue from it right now? Does anybody pay you?
Yeah.
How much?
Not very much.
Tell me.
I honestly don't know, but I think it's several hundred dollars a month.
Dude, that's not bad.
It's not bad.
Let's say it's $200 a month. That's $2,000 a year. You sell it for 3-5 times that. That's 6, close to $10,000. You could easily, you know, you'd even do a minimal Torchlight also, get it up to $500,000 a month, God forbid, sell it for 30, 40 grand.
God willing.
Dude, I don't know.
I don't know.
Couple things.
I don't know.
You could just bag a quick 40 grand, get in, you know, a little micro acquire and run or go for a big play. Torchlight, baby. You didn't expect this.
I did not expect this. This was a classic bamboozle. The last time you called, you're like, give me all your thoughts on open source licensing. I'm like, oh, shoot, I don't know. Now I'm getting hit up on Torchlight. You're keeping me on my toes.
Out of left field. Yeah. I'm out of left field, Aaron. I don't know. I'm here to tell you things that nobody else is even thinking about. So.
Yeah. Here's what I really want. I want Vercel to splash a bunch of that Vercel money on me and be like, we'll just have this now. I'd be like, great, you can have it. So they can just come in and buy it for
Yeah. You know? Yeah, you gotta
between
just make
$50,000 and $5 million, something like that.
Right. Just make it white.
Yes.
With a rounded XL
mm-hmm.
P8
mm-hmm.
border gray 800, mm-hmm. and they'll be like that.
It's perfect.
That's going in Shad CN. Yeah, there's a lot of places you could, dude, there are far places you could take this once you establish yourself as like the best coder. And some of this stuff I hesitate to tell you because I, as you have seen, doing some stuff with editors and like
right.
there's an alternate universe where I just decided to like build the best like editor ever
yeah.
for fun on the front end. But forget about that for a second.
Sure.
Just tell you the ideas. We'll see each other in court. like some AI stuff in like a live edit. So like code examples that are on a doc site are mm-hmm. actually like editable. And there's like Super Maven style, like, you know, I don't know, AI right in there. Could
okay.
be something, could be insanely cool. You could offer, dude, you, here's a killer feature. You have a copy button built in with that ships with the freaking thing.
Mm, it's kind of a pain, isn't it?
That's a pain because it's like, to do your own copy button
mm-hmm.
is not that easy. Like now there's that navigator like API that's so awesome,
right.
but it doesn't work in HTTP, only in HTTPS.
Mm.
So locally, you can't test unless
your
you
host.
Like herd
yeah.
secure or something like
nobody's
that,
doing
or,
that.
And nobody's going to do that
I'm
for that. So
that.
I just like hope it works in production and then you, whatever. There's just things that make it annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And offering like the code that gets copied is different than the code that they're seeing.
Yes.
That's a hard thing to do.
It is.
But that's an important thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Tab switching like Tailwind has. Dude, literally, there's so much opportunity. And this stuff can be used in presentations.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
can be used on doc sites. It can be used, you know, it's so well loved and adored. Everybody, every developer-oriented thing needs code snippets, maybe just even on their homepage. Whatever. Domination, Aaron.
That's actually my language as well. I just want pure, absolute domination. Okay, this is interesting. You've given me much to consider. I
yeah.
have been feeling a little bit like I should revisit that. And I should do an also because version one is like, I'm tired of it. It needs to go. I got improvements I need to make.
Yeah.
I still doubt the willingness of the market to pay, but there's an easy way to figure that out, which is to try and see.
Yeah.
I do, however, like the free pro split.
Yeah, yeah. Free pro like that with the big play, I'm on free pro. Yeah.
I think
but, like,
that's
if you want
I think that's
big adoption,
move. Yeah.
It's free pro all day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes. And there's lots of good dog feeding, dog food opportunities for you here. Like you're building a platform
yeah, I don't think
for
dog
courses.
Feeding is right. Yeah, it doesn't sound right.
It might be right though, you know.
Yeah, it might be. Like, but it's just, it doesn't sound right.
It's probably right. So yeah, there's lots of cat feeding
right,
opportunity
yeah,
here.
Right. Yeah,
seltzer popping opportunity
that's
here.
It's a good bet.
Like you can use it on your own stuff, and then you'll develop it into the thing that you adore. You know, and people are
right,
using.
Right, right.
And this is the like the scope creep you don't want. But right now, like. There are times that I want a simple syntax highlighter to just show people how to compose or require the thing.
Uh-huh.
And then there are times that I want a Tailwind play style, like
right.
very limited VS Code experience for somebody to play around or to like tweak something and have a little demo, whatever. And it the gradient, there's no gradient, you know, it's like for this, mm-hmm. you use the toys. For this, you use something that's way too powerful, you
right.
know? Just have nice, good
something.
Default. That's the problem. Okay, I'll be done with this in 1 second, but this is the problem with the current market. Nothing is just good defaults out of the box like Torchlight is.
Mm.
Everything else is like, clearly you want to customize the crap out of this to all your needs. You know, it's like, no, I don't at all.
You just want it to work.
Just want a nice
Man.
Theme, and then you do the rest.
It's nice to hear nice things about something you've created. That I do like that.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Yep.
So. It is a delight to use. I still use it on everything. I use it primarily through the Markdown extension, which I really enjoy because I just
oh.
write it in Markdown and it works.
Wait a second. Oh, yeah, yeah. I do that too.
Yeah.
Okay, because can you make a Markdown renderer that's also a service as well?
The Markdown renderer that Torchlight uses calls out to the API, yes. Is that the question?
No, like, can I just never have to compile Markdown with Common Mark or
oh,
anything?
Oh, you want to send me Markdown?
Yeah.
Well, well,
so
well,
I used
well.
To use GitHub. Oh, dude, this is the other play.
Okay, I remember that. You use their sneaky rendering API that doesn't exist. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did it forever. And it was like, this is a sick markdown at like processor. Yeah, it's great. And this works great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if there's a package available under my name somewhere to do this. Get something. It's called Getdown. Getdown. That's what it's called.
Great name. Great.
Anybody
name.
Cares? Go find Getdown with a neon sign because you're getting down. That's the logo. So Getdown is great, but it's so restrictive because of sanitization that they do. And I did gnarly things in Getdown, like the bad stuff. I encode in ridiculous things and then decode it back when it comes back.
Yep, yep.
But whatever. I hate fiddling with Markdown, and I'm always wrestling with Common Mark and making my own extensions for stuff that should just be available. And
interesting. Yeah. I love Markdown and fiddling with Common Mark and making my own extensions for things that should be available.
I love doing that too.
Absolutely adore that.
When I have 4 weeks.
Yeah. You know? I love 4 weeks.
This is the kind of thing that let's have one person do all the fiddling.
I can fiddle. You know? I can fiddle. So what are you saying? You want to write in Markdown and you want to send it off to me to be rendered, including all of the fanciness.
Including all the code.
Get it back as just pure
HTML. And and I want you to add links in the headings so that I don't have to do any of that.
Of course.
That's hard.
Naturally.
Maybe make a table of contents available as well. Mm-hmm. And maybe have some automated stuff that as you scroll it, whatever. The scroll padding, as you scroll it, highlights the current thing, whatever. But yeah, just a Markdown render. It's like Torchlight. The thing that you send your Markdown with your code snippets, or just your code snippets to, and it does all the hard work for you, and you're good to go.
This is interesting. I don't know.
There you go, Aaron.
Sounds like another good rabbit trail. Yeah, I kind of like that. I kind of like that better, honestly.
Marked just being like the Markdown situation.
Yeah, but
it's a much wider market.
It's much wider and it's new, so I don't know what all the baggage is. But it does sound nice.
Yeah. I don't know. There you go, Aaron. How's that for a podcast?
Well, gang. Sounds good. You're telling me Big Guy never hit you with a well, gang, and that was how you knew it was over?
No way. He's never said gang.
What?
He would say gang, gang.
No, that's totally different.
I don't know. I'm trying to picture how my dad would send a signal, and it wouldn't be through some indirect communication that's folksy like that, all my other friends' dads. It would be pretty direct.
That's interesting.
Yep.
Okay. Well,
I
gang, we did it. Thanks for stepping in.
He doesn't say gang. Yeah. Well, gang.
What does Ian normally do here? Ian normally reads us out by saying, this was mostly technical. Okay.
Let's cue the outro music.
That's your show. By the way, I thought I heard you and Daniel talking about, we got a podcast coming. We're going to talk today and we got to record a new podcast. What's the deal? Where's no plans to merge?
We did record one. We recorded the one where we didn't talk about anything. Like, we were like, we can't talk about anything on this podcast.
Yeah, I thought y'all had a new one.
Did you hear that one?
I think so. No plans.
Oh, yeah. There was a new one. Merge. Or not a new one, but there. I tweeted at him. Okay, here's the other thing quick, Aaron, now that we're ending the show.
Yeah.
I think I want to event source.
Oh, no.
And I've never even been tempted.
Oh, man. I know. They got you.
I think they got me.
I hate to hear that.
Yeah. And I'm working on this app and I'm like, I feel like I'm really setting myself up for pain with these simple models that are all mutable and blah, 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 whatever. I'm not trying to scoop Daniel's talk either, but I went down the rabbit hole for 2 seconds and it's like, nope.
Yeah,
no time.
Yeah, good. There's no time. There's no time.
There's no time. But honestly, it's like if somebody, and Verbs would be the thing to do it, if somebody could make event sourcing easy to swallow, like the benefits seem so undeniable and like game changing. Like it seems like I don't know how people adore type safety and things like that. Ugh. It's like, wow, I can, like that kind of thing where it's like, I could never.
Can you imagine not having end to end type safety? Yes, I can. It's fine.
I don't know. Something like that. Yeah. I mean, I do that. I never use that. But whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's the kind of thing that seems like, this changes things and makes you fall in love with it because you don't have bugs and everything is easy to deal with.
That's where they lose me. Okay. Man, so, if they got you.
They haven't gotten me yet because I haven't actually done it. But it definitely has been like a brainworm. that, like, now that I've seen it a little, like, actually seen that, okay, like, what I'm doing right, because I deal with things in my current life mm-hmm. that are painful. Like, man, oh, this webhook got hit, but, like, the thing didn't get added to the table. So, okay, I'll go in a lemon squeezy. I'll add the thing to the table myself. Oh, but all the other code that's supposed to run didn't run.
Freaking life.
And, like, stuff like that. It's like, oh, this is so stupid. Here's 100% off coupon code, you know?
Yeah.
Like, stuff like, in theory, event sourcing would be the kind of thing that you just be like, we'll just quick pop that in there. We could just play that event and everything sings. Or like, oh, we'll just roll back and replay all the, you know, webhook received things or whatever. I don't know. A lot of things like that. That's like, oh, wow. I'm dealing with like kind of important things and it all rests on the state being all perfect. Right. You know? So whatever.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to look into event sourcing now. This is how I do it. I don't do anything. I'm a laggard. I'm a late adopter when it comes to stuff like this. Yeah, like, I didn't start putting return types in my Laravel stuff until it was fully in Laravel core. And now I'm like, dude, all right, I guess
I don't put return types in. I've never used TypeScript. You're talking to the most laggard lagger of all time.
That's why I'm so disappointed to hear that event sourcing is it. Because
it might be. It might be something that brings me out of like building apps the exact way I built them 10 years ago.
Oh, 10 years ago was awesome. I love 10 years ago. Okay, well, that's news. I need you and Daniel to record so that I can listen to all of that.
Yeah.
Aaron Francis. Why don't you tell the people where they can find you, and then I'll tell the people where they can find us. I don't know.
Find me on the internet. That's where.
The internet. The mostlytechnical.com, mostlytechpod on Twitter, RIP, and mostlytechnicalpodcast@gmail.com. And go find Ian on Twitter and wish him well as he is sick. So thanks for joining us, Caleb. Thanks for standing in as Ian, and we'll talk to you all next time.